May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text comes from the gospel reading, especially these words. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and indeed he may plunder his house. This is our text. You may be seated. Scripture is full of word pictures that describe Jesus. Over these last few weeks, we've pondered several of them in our readings. Jesus as the Good Shepherd, Jesus as the vine, for example. But there are others. The Good Samaritan is really a picture of Jesus and his saving work. From the Old Testament, we see types of Jesus, people and things that foreshadow some aspect of the Savior's work. For example, Isaac, who was almost sacrificed on an altar of wood by Abraham, prefiguring Jesus, who would be sacrificed on the wood of cross. Boaz, in his care for and redeeming of Ruth, a foreigner, shows Jesus' redeeming of us, we Gentiles. Even Queen Esther foreshadowed the salvation that Christ would bring to all people. But every once in a while, there is a picture of Jesus that, well, it's a little bit jarring. And our gospel lesson gives us one of those pictures today. Now, understand the context here. Jesus has been driving out demons, casting demons out of possessed people, something that Mark describes quite a bit in his gospel. And the scribes, these Jewish theologians, think they have a theory about how all this is happening. It must be by the power of the devil himself. He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons, he casts out demons, they said. Well, Jesus fires right back that this makes no sense. If Satan were casting out his own demons, then he would be undermining his own power and authority. The very thing he is trying to do, he would be undoing. And so Jesus tells them, no, this is not some strange demonic civil war, but something much more important is happening. And that leads us to verse 27, where Jesus says, no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. So first, who is the strong man to whom Jesus refers? Well, it's Satan. Satan is the one who holds power and sway in this world, holds influence over so many people in this world. The devil has demons doing his bidding and his will, and even people. Often in the case of people, they don't even know who they're serving. Satan seeks only to increase his influence and power. In terms of worldly power, Satan is quite strong. All sin is in service to him. All false religion is really a worship of the devil. Satan's goal is to do as much damage to God and his creation and his people as he can. What about the strong man's goods? What are Satan's possessions? Well, Satan has been cast out of heaven after his rebellion, so he has no standing or wealth there. But you and I, and every man, woman, and child who has ever lived, are the goods that Satan desires. Human beings under his control represent his wealth. Now we see this vividly with Jesus casting out demon-possessed people. They are literally possessed, owned by demons. As we are reminded in our Old Testament reading, our first parents, Adam and Eve, gave themselves over to Satan. They chose to listen to the voice of the devil rather than the voice of God. In eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they gave themselves over to him as his property. In that act, they swore their allegiance to him. And by right of our own corruption, we put ourselves into the service of this demonic force, this strong man. Sometimes we rather like what Satan has to offer. Power, wealth, pleasure, ease of life. And in return for our devotedness to him, he is happy to give us those things. But the price is high. Shame, slavery, separation from God, even death, our very souls. These are the price he demands. So Satan is the strong man. We are the possessions. That leaves the one who enters into Satan's house to rob him. Yes, Jesus is the plunderer. Jesus is the looter, the thief. He who was crucified between two thieves. He who was crucified while Barabbas, a robber, was set free, describes himself as a thief. Fascinating. Jesus is the crook. He is the one committing this violent crime, binding up his victim and then robbing him blind. He comes and utterly plunders the devil. So we read, Jesus is casting out demons, driving out the forces of evil from people, taking away Satan's hold on them. Jesus is showing that he's more powerful than any demon, but that's not enough. Satan has to be bound. Jesus has to defeat him, the prince of demons. He does that at the cross. As the book of Revelation puts it, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil, Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and threw him into the pit, and shut it, and sealed it over him, so that he might not deceive the nations any longer. Satan, no doubt, saw Christ hanging on the cross, and no doubt he was rejoicing over it. But it's only a strike at the Lord's heel. On Easter morn, we see that is, in fact, the head of Satan that has been bruised and crushed. And because death no longer has dominion over Jesus, it no longer has dominion over us, his followers. The writer to the Hebrews says it this way. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, Jesus himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who, through fear of death, were subject to lifelong slavery. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus binds the devil. He even takes away the fear of death, Satan's greatest tool. Death for us is turned into life. Satan's claim on us is that since we have rebelled against God, we belong to him. But Jesus has a different story to tell us. Christ says, no, these are my people. These belong to me. Whatever they have done, whatever service you claim they have given you, whatever foulness or hate or greed or lust or self-righteousness or shame that you, Satan, claim puts them under your care and control, all that has been put on me. All of their sin I allow to kill me. Since I, Jesus, have destroyed that sin, not even death is their end. You have nothing, Satan. I take them back. I claim them for my Father. You are plundered. You have nothing. Your reign of terror is over. I have freed my people. This is the certain hope we have as God's people. Jesus goes on to say in our gospel lesson, truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man and whatever blasphemies they utter. Jesus looted Satan on that cross, forgiving our sins. And every time someone is baptized, God is looting Satan again, taking another soul from the grip of the evil one and claiming it as his own. Martin Luther wrote, Baptism snatches us out of the jaws of the devil and makes God our own, since it is baptism that unites us with Christ and in fact buries us with Christ. The devil is unable to infiltrate this promise or steal it away from Christ. What God has claimed, Satan cannot steal back. His only recourse is to try to turn people back to him willfully, to listen to his temptations and lies. Jesus goes on to say, "Whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin." What is this, to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit? Well, if you're worried that you've committed this sin, then you haven't. To blaspheme the Holy Spirit is to deny unto death what Jesus has done for us on the cross, to deny the Holy Spirit's voice that Christ has defeated sin and death and the devil on our behalf, to go to one's grave in unbelief. It is true, as St. Peter says, that your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Satan is still tempting. Satan is still eager to have you and I do whatever he wants. He is still seeking to deceive. He is still seeking followers. He may even bruise your heel. He is a strong man. But Jesus is stronger. The promise to Adam and Eve is fulfilled. Satan's head is crushed. We who have been baptized into the death and resurrection of Christ have been stolen away from the strong man. We have been redeemed from his control. Our souls, our bodies do not belong to him, but have been taken by God through the death and resurrection of Jesus. It is he who we serve now. We have been plundered away from the grip of our own sin, from eternal death, from Satan's power. As Luther writes, "Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill. They shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will. He can harm us none. He's judged. The deed is done. One little word can fell him." In the name of Jesus.